Welcome to Book Hype. This episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype. This is episode 18, and it is our discussion all about Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell. I'm Marima, and I have with me Karen and Michal. How are you ladies today?
Hello.
Good.
Yes, very good. We didn't record last week because you were too exhausted after Comic-Con.
Yes. No, we were at Comic-Con.
Oh, you were still there? I thought it was because Kyle and I were too jealous and weren't speaking to you. Well, that's definitely why I wasn't recording.
New York Comic-Con is not that gel-worthy, I have to say.
Well, I mean, it's in New York, so
that is true.
That's enough.
I love New York Comic Con, but it's, you know.
Did you guys do any fun book things while you were there?
Yeah, I got to interview an author I've spoken about before on the podcast, Scott Lynch, who writes the Gentleman Bastard series. And once I transcribe that interview, that will be up on the site. It was really cool because I asked him some general questions, and then I kind of just went for it and asked him, like, spoiler questions about the most recent book, so that was cool. It was more like a discussion than an interview.
Very cool.
Yeah, and also I went to a couple of YA panels and was shocked and astonished and flabbergasted to see how many dudes were in the audience and, like, totally participating. And one of them was, like, a panel about heroines, and I was like, wow, that's cool. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because usually it's, like, all women, all girls.
100%. Yeah, I saw that when we were at San Diego. Did you get to go to any of the panels? Because I know there was Vampire Academy. That was, like, crazy huge. And Outlander as well?
I went to the Outlander one, which was pretty cool. They're making that series into a television show. And they talked about it a little bit. The author was there. She was pretty cool. And they showed us, like, some pictures and stuff of what's going on, like, sets and I think some of the costumes and stuff. And it seems like it's actually going to be a pretty big deal. So hopefully it works out for them. I think it'll be cool.
Oh, very fun. Well, I'm still jealous. And as you may have realized, Jen and Kyle are not here this week, but we have a special guest. Our very first, I think this is right, our very first non-author, hyperbole writer, guest host. That's a mouthful. We'll think of something, like, funnier to call you. We have Pamela here. Say hi.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for giving up your Sunday morning to come and be a nerd with us.
This is like usual podcast time when you podcast with people from around the world, so it's not that big of a deal.
I know this feeling well.
Yes.
You are on the Merlin podcast?
Oh, yeah. I do Talks of Camelot, which is a BBC Merlin-based podcast for Hypeable. I do Vampire Hype with Kyle as well, so if you guys are Vampire Diaries fans, I'm on there. And then I used to do Imprint podcast with Andrew Sims and co.
When
Twilight was a thing. That was like my first venture into podcasting. So I'm very familiar with talking about books, especially books to any kind of film adaptation.
Well, so we have a podcasting celebrity in our midst.
All lies.
Oh,
all lies.
Dear. Well, it's very nice to have you. And I can't wait to talk about Fangirl with all of you guys. Before we get started, I would just remind everyone you can always get in touch with us at Hypeable on the post for this podcast, and you can also reach us on Twitter at BookHype. So, what have you guys been reading this week, if you have recovered from Comic-Con? I am still in the world of very boring history books, boring for everyone else, unfortunately, but I did find time to do a quick reread of Insurgent, to get prepared for the Allegiant release this week. And that's all I've really had time to read. But Karen, have you read anything fun?
Well, I just finished Fangirl last night, so that's been sort of taking up my time. But I am about to start Randy Rhodes' Ninja Detective, The Case of the Time Capsule Bandit. And this is by Octavia Spencer, the actress. And my review is probably going to go up sometime next week. But it's a kid's book, but I'm really interested in reading it. This is her debut book, and I think it's going to be really good, so it'll be interesting to read it, just kind of knowing who the author is.
Oh, cool. And not to brag, but Octavia Spencer does follow us on Twitter, so...
Yes, she does.
Yes, she does. That sounds fun.
Octavia Spencer, we love you.
We love you, Octavia Spencer. Come on our show. Mikhail, what about you?
I am reading The House of Hades by Rick Riordan, which I
sorry.
Control yourself, Karen.
sorry.
I'm reading this in like bits and pieces because I was in the middle of reading Fangirl, and then I got the book and I was like, well, I have to start this. So I did start it, and then I finished Fangirl, and then I was reading it this weekend. And now with I'm nowhere near, like, anywhere through, because it's a hell of a long book. And then this week with Legion, I'm probably not going to be finished with this book till December. But it's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's not, like, I think that these... I guess maybe Karen and I should do an episode talking about Rick Riordan at some point. But
can we? Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, maybe good, because I have a lot of thoughts. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like these recent ones have started a lot slower, because it's sort of like, okay, I have, like, a million characters that you all have to get to know again and, like, figure out what they're doing. But Percy and Annabeth are in Tartarus, so that's all good.
Cool. I have not read those books, but everyone on my Twitter feed is really excited about them, and I know Karen is excited for them, so that's fun.
House of Hades was so good. I think it's my favorite Percy Jackson book.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Oh.
But I wouldn't be surprised if you disagreed with me.
Oh, Karen. We love you, really. I probably disagree with you, and I have not even read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's likely. Pam, what about you? Have you read anything fun?
I think Fangirl is probably the most recent thing that I've read that's new. I finished that a couple of weeks ago, and then I was cleaning up my room and I found my very old copy of Catcher in the Rye, which is of course by J.D. Salinger, and I just started rereading that because I remember really enjoying it in high school, and just, you know, it's just one of those books that you either love or you hate. It had a really big impact on me when I picked it up when I was 15. And so I've been rereading that and really enjoying the reread and just kind of seeing it through more adult eyes, I guess. It's been like maybe 10 years since I read it. So it's a very interesting experience. But
oh, I love that. I'm a big Catcher in the Rye fan. We talked about this too. On our classics show last week.
Oh, fabulous. Then my recommendation is kind of relevant.
Yeah, very appropriate. So we've got a little book bites topic for this week. I think, Mikhail, you're going to head this one up.
Yes. And by the way, Marimai, your pronunciation of my name has gotten so much better. I'm really impressed.
It's because I'm awake this week. We're doing well.
Okay, I approve of that. All right, so this week's book bites was inspired partly by Fangirl and partly by some of the news coming out about Allegiant, but I was wondering if you guys had experience with the phenomenon of getting angry at authors for story decisions, and not just like, but like actual anger and, you know, possibly confronting that author with that anger now that everybody's in contact with everybody online. Yeah, so what do you guys think about that?
Oh, confronting the author, that sounds dramatic.
Mm.
I guess the one that comes to mind immediately for me would be Mockingjay. I definitely had a lot of issues with that book, and I feel like we have talked about that before. Yeah, I think definitely that, I did have a lot of like, because it was the last book in the series, I was going to say irrational anger, but it wasn't irrational because I was right. So I did have a lot of anger when I finished that book about some of the decisions that were made in that.
And do you think that, like, were you angry, like, in general, or were you angry at Suzanne Collins?
Oh, I was definitely angry at Suzanne Collins because she wrote the book. It was her fault. But I don't know. Then I got over it. I didn't feel, like, that strongly about it. But I guess it affects my reading because I wouldn't voluntarily think, like, oh, I'm going to reread, you know, Mockingjay today. Probably because of those first emotions that I had. But it sounds like you have some personal experience with this, so I want to know, like, what your examples were.
I have a lot of, actually, a similar experience with Suzanne Collins. I certainly didn't, like, you know, I mean, she has virtually no online presence, so, you know. I think I did write an angry post somewhere on a LiveJournal about Gale. But George R. R. Martin also came to mind because of his slightly controversial literary decisions. But he also gets a lot of, I don't know, anger, but people are angry at him for not writing faster. And there's that whole, you know, the whole George R. R. Martin is not your bitch phenomenon, wherein, you know, people are like, he doesn't have to write anything. He doesn't owe you anything. He could stop the series right now. And it wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have a right to be angry, which I completely disagree with. However, I don't know that that makes it okay to, you know, pester an author on their website, especially nowadays when it's so popular and everybody's asking that same question. Like, on the one hand, it's a sign that you, as an author, have touched people, you know, if they can muster those emotions. Like, I think it's a good thing, you know, in a way that, like, I mean, I don't know if people were, like, had this reaction for Harry Potter, but, like, not an angry reaction, but I had a very strong emotional reaction to the end of Harry Potter. And, you know, I mean, I think overall that's a good thing. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. You know, like, if anger at an author's decisions is a good thing on the part of, like, you know, if that means that the author has succeeded or if that means that the author has failed in terms of making bad story decisions. I'm not sure. It'll be really interesting to see Allegiant come out because, you know, as with Mockingjay, this is sort of a fairly major young adult series. And I think Mockingjay did have a lot of controversy around the ending for various reasons that we're going to get to relive next year. But basically, my point is, I don't know. I think expressing that anger online is acceptable. I don't think that you should confront the author with it because I don't think that that's, like, a mature thing to do. You know, it's any author will find out what you're feeling. And, you know, as always, it's good to keep a level tone and keep insults out of the range, or at least insults, personal insults about the author.
Before we continue with Book Bites, we'd just like to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their really great service. And Pamela actually has an audiobook to recommend to you guys this week.
Yes. So going with the New York Comic Con news of Diana Gabaldon's Outlander series being turned into a TV show, we thought it'd be a good idea to recommend Outlander. It's the first in a series of 7 novels by Diana Gabaldon, and it's just a wonderful book. It's so great. It deals with time traveling. It deals with the Scottish Highlands in the 18th century. There's a really hot guy in it. There's a really smart girl in it. I mean, what more could you want? It's just action-packed with adventure and romance. And it's a very long book, which is great if you love long books. And of course, like I said, it's in a series, so we definitely recommend that you check that out. It's called Outlander, and it's by Diana Gabaldon. So we hope you guys enjoy that.
That sounds perfect. So to get a free audiobook, just like Outlander, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. And we thank Audible for their support of the show. So I feel like, Karen, you're way too nice to ever get angry at an author about their decisions.
Well, yeah, that's probably true, because I know I read Mockingjay and I was, like, really upset, and then I reread it and I was like, oh, actually this kind of makes sense. So,
oh, so Karen. Yeah,
I know. Well, just to kind of answer the question, though, is I think it's okay to be angry at an author for the decisions in the book that they wrote, because it means that you're invested. And I think, like, in a way, that's kind of a good thing, even though you are angry. And, you know, that's probably not the best way to handle it. But I think that, you know, there are plenty of books out there that I don't really like. And, you know, I don't care about them. So I'm not going to get angry with the decisions that the author makes. So I think if you are angry and upset, it means that you are invested in the book. But the point of the matter is, don't be mean to the authors. You know, don't, like, get into a spat with them on Twitter or something like that, because it's just inappropriate. I think it's fine to express your feelings on, like, a blog post or something like that, but I guarantee that the author cares more about their story than you do, because these people put a lot of time and effort into it. And, you know, maybe they made a bad decision, but it's, you know, they're people too. They don't deserve animosity like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like there are the right places to have those kinds of conversations. And like you said, blog posts or if we're talking about books, review posts are always a really good place to have those kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. That's like an open forum for readers to talk about it. But yeah, I think it's really important that there's like an author-reader divide in that sort of thing. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with if you get a chance to meet your author saying like, oh, you know, I really love this book, but I was kind of upset about this, or I was kind of disappointed with this. But, like, please don't be mad at them or angry at them or, you know, horrible or rude or etc., because that's just not nice to any person. So, you know, sometimes people get so invested in their favorite stories that they forget the people that created them are just people as well, which is a shame. Any thoughts, Pam?
Well, I definitely agree with Karen, and just the fact that you're so upset means that you're thoroughly invested in a book. And that's definitely a compliment, because that's all a writer can ask for. I mean, like, if you connect with the characters they created, that's probably the biggest compliment in the world. I do think that it's very interesting that you brought up Harry Potter, because that was probably the first fandom that I was really involved with online through the last, I believe, two books that were published. And being involved in the online community, you see a lot of love, of course, toward J.K. Rowling. And I think we still see that a lot today. It's more leaning towards, like, you know, J.K. Rowling is a hero, blah, blah, blah. But I think there are still a lot of people that are still really upset with some of the choices that she made. My best friend will, for example, never forgive J.K. Rowling for Order of the Phoenix, not only for killing off Sirius, which was Harry's only last living kind of father figure, really, that was thoroughly trying to be involved with his life, but also because she created the character Umbridge. And my friend just really, really, really passionately dislikes that character and everything Harry went through in that book. And so, you know, that's a really good example of somebody that still kind of carries a lot of hatred for a single novel in a series. But I mean, you know, to me, I that was actually my favorite book, and I, you know, enjoyed kind of the journey. So, you know, it's all about a matter of opinion, I think. But I definitely don't think it's okay for you to feel like it's your right to go out of your way and confront an author about the choices that he or she made, because, you know, that person also deserves some kind of respect from you, because, you know, overall you do enjoy the material that they put out. It's usually just the one thing that in your mind outweighs all the good. And yeah, I just think we should all just be respectful of somebody who's really just opened up enough to kind of share their wonderful stories with us. But I definitely think it's okay to be angry as long as you're respectful about it.
Oh my God, what? She killed Sirius? Spoiler alert. Oh, my life is ruined. I have not read those books, you guys. This is a true story. It's not true. I just made that up. All right. I think we're done for Book Bites this week. But speaking of spoilers.
Well, actually, I did want to just talk about, I mean, this, we can pick this up in our fangirl discussion, but I'm interested in like how this connects to fan fiction. Like, is fan fiction like remedial of the original work? Is it, you know, is it exploitive? Is it explorative? Is it, you know, reasons people write fan fiction. So we can just keep that in mind for our discussion of fangirl.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that would definitely come up. So speaking of Fangirl, let's talk about it. If you have not read Fangirl, and I'm not talking to you three now, to the people who are listening to this in their iPhone or iPods, if you have not read Fangirl, stop listening to this podcast because you will be spoiled. And we don't want you guys to know about that bit where the UFO lands on page 350 and you'll just get ruined on the whole thing. So go and read it. Come back. We will be here. So, overall impressions, would you guys recommend that someone buy this book, that they borrow it from a library, or that they just don't read it? What do we think? Karen, you're first.
Definitely buy it. I really, really enjoyed it. So, yeah, buy it.
Excellent. Michal?
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is a buy.
And Pam, what do you think?
Definitely buy. I actually accidentally bought it on my iPad, but I'm so happy I did because I'll be rereading it soon.
How did you accidentally buy it?
Well, I meant to actually, I had some extra money in my PayPal account that I couldn't figure out how to transfer into my banking account. So I was like, oh, how can I spend this money? So I meant to buy it with that because my library didn't have it. And I really, really, really wanted to read it. I saw a review at Entertainment Weekly about it. And I was like, well, fan fiction mainstreamed into a book, must read. And I didn't mean to buy it with my actual debit card. And I did. And I was kind of bummed out about it until I started reading it. And I was like, this is the best $5 I ever spent. So
love it. That is brilliant. Yeah, I have to go with you guys. I definitely recommend that people buy this. I feel like I've talked about this on a previous episode, but I really loved this book. Not that it didn't have its issues, but we'll get into those. So one of the first things I want to talk about, because this seems like a pretty common reaction that I've seen amongst like reviews, and people definitely said on Hyperbole on our review of Fangirl and also our interview that I did with Rainbow, that like they were Kath and they were exactly like Kath, and you know, that was their experience of fandom and fanfiction and college and all these things. So did anyone else have that same feeling when they were reading this?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Definitely. Yes.
Oh, please explain.
It was really weird and a little hard to read. And I'm not talking about the fan fiction part because I don't write fan fiction and I've only really gotten into fandom recently, but her college experience and her anxiety over like her social anxiety, that is me. That was how I was in college. I didn't want to go to the dining hall. You know, I would have eaten in my room every single day if my best friend hadn't been there and hadn't dragged me to the dining hall. And it was really, really weird to see it kind of from an outsider's perspective and to just think about like, wow, she really got this right. She really got that whole like social anxiety thing right, and how you feel about certain situations and the silly questions that you ask yourself that nobody else really thinks of when they're in that situations. I mean, it was spot on. It was kind of scary.
Interesting. Someone else said yes as well.
Yeah, that's me. I felt like on and off with Kath, but definitely, like, it definitely took me back to those early days of college where I didn't feel like I fit in, and it was worse for Kath because, like, she was more alone than I was, but, like, it was still, you know, echoes of that feeling. And also, like, I felt like I had a couple of seriously similar relationships as Kath had in her life. Unfortunately, Levi's not one of them, but I just, like, some of the things she thought and some of the things she felt in relation to, like, her sister or some of her parent figures, I was just like, oh my god, this is my life. It was a little bizarre, I gotta say.
I totally agree with you guys, like, and it was kind of hard to read because I was Kath for my second semester of college, down to the writing fan fiction, which I'm really embarrassed to admit, but it was just, I just totally resonated with her using fandom as an escape. I used that as a way to just kind of tune out of some of the problems that I was having. I had a decent first semester, and then second semester kind of went downhill, and I kind of became like what CAP is in her first semester. I was very introverted. I didn't want to go to the dining hall. I didn't even want to like go out into the hallways. I lived in a co-ed dorm. I didn't even want to go out into the hallways to like run to the bathroom and use it. Like I would just wait, you know, because I just didn't want to leave my room. And like Kath, I had this really great roommate and we actually ended up bonding second semester. And it was just so much better after we kind of became better friends and stuff. And she kind of forced me to go out again and just kind of get over the things that I was going through. But yeah, it was kind of really hard to read because it's like, you know, there's this book and it's almost like retelling your life in a way. And it was just so weird and so wonderful all at the same time. And I just can't, I think that's why I just loved it so much because, you know, I don't know if like Rainbow Rowell had similar experiences, if it was semi-autobiographical or based on, you know, a friend that had similar experiences as Kath, but she just hit it right on the nail. And it was just so wonderfully beautiful, just the way it was done.
Her relationship with fan fiction also was eerily accurate. Like I'm definitely not nearly as prolific as Kath in the fan fiction world. But I do remember in college, like that feeling of these characters are like literally in my, like dying to come out of my fingers and actually having a very similar, not with the professor, thankfully, but a very similar conversation, with someone in my life. And I was trying to like tell them why it was so much more attractive to write fan fiction than to write original fiction of my own. And like, I was like, it was eerie. Like, I think I would actually have an issue rereading this book because it, you know, as great as it was, it did cut a little bit too close to home. And I guess, mm-hmm. I guess that's successful, but it's difficult.
Yeah, I definitely had to put it down a couple times because I was like, this is like, she followed me around, you know, and she wrote the story of my life, kind of, except without, you know, the guy. yeah, no guy I ever met that year was as nice as Levi. But, you know, it was just like, and I totally also like just like the fact that she would like stay up late at night, like to contribute to fandom and stuff like that was totally very easy to relate to, like living for reviews, like finding that one random person that like you'll never speak to again, but like that just knows, like, I, oh my God, that was like the best, you know, like she runs into that girl in the library and the girl and her just talk and she just is like, oh my God, you get it, like you read my story, like nobody, I never met anybody that read anything I wrote, but it was just like anytime you saw somebody with like, you know, a shirt that you knew was like exclusively fandom, it was just so cool, you know, to meet those people. But yeah, very trippy read, but I'm glad I got through it.
Oh, okay, well this is good, I guess, because I really did not identify with Kath at all, and in fact at times she was kind of annoying. Because that was not my, like, uni experience. Well, I mean, it isn't still. But, yeah, that, like, when I started at uni, that was, like, nowhere near my experience. But I still really enjoyed all the, like, fandom-y aspects and stuff. So I guess that's a good thing that, you know, you can relate to it. Or you cannot relate to it, but you can still like the book because it was so good.
Guys, Marama is Regan.
I was kind of
oh my God,
Regan, and I would have to say I'm probably like half Regan, half Ren, minor the like alcoholism. I think I just had a pretty standard like uni experience, which was just, it was fine, and it was, I mean, it's good, and I've had a lot of fun, but no, I never really had any of that like anxiety or anything, which might be because the way Australian unis are set up, like I don't live on campus, and you know, I eat in my kitchen, not in like a hall with other people. So yeah, I don't know, but it's very interesting. So if you guys were all like, Kath is me, was she your favorite character, or is just Levi won everyone over?
I don't think I really had a favorite. I think I just kind of enjoyed them all as they came, you know? I don't know. Is that weird? Yeah.
Well, no, I definitely loved, is it Regan or Reagan? How would you say it?
Reagan? Like the president?
Reagan? That's how I was saying it. Yeah, yeah. Like the president. So.
The American president, I should say. Yeah,
Regan, like from King Lear, that's what I thought, so.
Oh, well, okay. Regan / Reagan was definitely my favorite. She was, like, sarcastic and amazing. Mm-hmm. She was the best.
This might be kind of weird, I don't know, but I'm not quite sure I really liked Kath. I didn't dislike her, but I think because we were so similar, it was hard to be like, oh yeah, you know, she's my favorite character. So I definitely gravitated a lot more toward Levi. I really liked Reagan too. I thought she was great. And yeah, but I don't know. What about Pam and Michal? Did you guys like her because you were so similar to her? Or were you like, it'd be weird to like her because you were so similar?
Yeah, they'd be like, I love myself, you guys.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I really think like with this book, like I don't think, obviously I related a lot to Kath, but I don't think that there was a point where I was like, oh, this character like is my jam. You know what I mean? Like there was not that moment for me, whereas in other books, like I have just really gravitated towards one character. I know I did not like Ren just because Ren was, I don't know, she was just like a little too much for me. But other than that, I think I just really just enjoyed reading all the characters and seeing what they all brought to the table at different times.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I had a favorite. There were things that Kath did that annoyed me. Like, I mean, I guess we can talk about it in depth later, but like when she submitted like her fan fiction to her class, I was like, sweetheart.
Yes. I was like, can't you just, have you never heard of AU? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, and I mean, I don't know how much of my feelings toward Kath were determined by my similarities or lack thereof to her, but, yeah, it didn't feel like a book that I had to have a favorite character. I just kind of enjoyed the progress of the story and the way everybody interacted.
Okay, so what about, Pam, you just said you didn't like Ren that much. What about Kath and Ren's relationship? I thought this was cool because it was like a new sort of twist on the twin story, I suppose. Like we always have either, you know, the twins that are like BFFs or we have the twins that are, you know, so different and la la la. But it was interesting to me that Kath was clinging so much to this relationship and Ren like really didn't want to have anything to do with her, and I'm sure that was exacerbated by, you know, starting college and starting all these new things, but I found their relationship really fascinating.
It was a really realistic portrayal, I think. I liked the idea that they were so different, especially just because, like, sometimes I actually forgot they were twins until they brought it up and, you know, people are saying things about it. And you just kind of, like, focus on the fact that they were sisters because they were so different. But, again, going back to my college experience, my best friend was there with me, and I know I really clung to her. And not that she acted like Ren. She definitely wasn't an alcoholic either, just throwing that out there. But, you know, I think that it was something, and it is something that happens a lot, where you have one person who kind of can't let go, needs that anchor, and the other person is just kind of wants to like do everything all at once. And it's an interesting dynamic, especially given the fact that they're twins, because you would think that, you know, they're twins, they always want to be together. But it was cool that Ren, I guess, didn't, that she did kind of want to live her own life, even though Kath clung to her so much. With that being said, I didn't always enjoy Ren, but I think by the end of the book, she redeemed herself. And even though she was kind of a brat a lot of the times, she really did care about her sister. And I was, like, oddly invested in whether or not she still liked Simon Snow and that whole story and everything. So at the end, when she hugged her sister and she was crying, that was like the final redeeming moment for me.
I have a sort of similar relationship with my sister in that we're very close in age, but I'm older, but she, you know, kind of has more of a job. She got her hair cut first. You know, it's a very interesting dynamic. My sister is not an alcoholic.
I feel like we have all said that too many times already.
My sister's great. I love her.
Let's just preface all stories by saying no one in these anecdotal stories, including ourselves, are alcoholics. And
right,
go exactly. From there. Yes, please continue.
But I have also experienced that sort of, like, getting into a fandom with her. We were long time Harry Potter readers, and just sort of seeing her move on to other forms of fiction and, you know, like nonfiction, and she loves memoir, you know, and she's still into fandom stuff, but like not as much as I am. I mean, I write for a fandom website, and it's difficult, you know, seeing people. It's like this, why don't you love this as much as I do? And then when you get those moments that like kind of show you how much, you know, that person still is invested, even if in a different way, in that initial story that you both loved so much. It's a really, really special moment. And I agree that Ren hugging, well, her reaction to the idea that Kath might kill Basil was really, really heartwarming for me. And yeah, their reaction at the end of the book was also beautiful. And I love the fact that Ren had just like read it way faster than Kath, because, you know, at the end.
Yeah, that was cute. I liked that. Well, what about Kath's other relationships? So we had the boys. We had Nick. I can't say that word on this podcast. Nick the jerk. Or another word that rhymes with Nick. And Levi, the sweetheart. Everyone loves Levi, the country boy, who like got way into fandom and was adorable. Am I right? He was super adorable about like, read me your slash fan fiction.
That was romantic. Adorable.
Yeah.
That's when you know he's a keeper. Right. It's like reading your slash fan fiction.
Right. That is a good test.
I never wrote slash fan fiction. But if I did.
Oh, sure, Pam. Sure. So what did we think? Did everyone hate Nick? Was that just like a universal thing? I feel like Nick was a very unsympathetic character. There wasn't a lot of effort made to give him any sort of redeeming qualities.
Yeah, at first I really liked him, and I didn't think the thing with like Levi was really going to pan out. I thought he was just being super friendly, and I really wanted Nick and her to be together, and because I thought that they worked so well together that it was sort of like a match made in heaven if they could write together like that. And then as the story progressed and we find out what like Nick did, it was like no redeeming qualities about him. He was such a jerk, and I was like, yeah, this is not good. I don't like him anymore.
Yeah, I was confused as to whether, I mean, the cover sort of maybe gave it away a little bit, but I was confused as to whether we were supposed to be rooting for Levi and Kath at first, because I also thought that he was dating Regan, so I was confused about that. But I don't know if I was rooting for her to get together with Nick, but I did like that she felt like she was on an intellectual parity with someone. And, I, you know, I thought it was healthy for Kath that she was kind of taking a risk and doing this, you know, this writing. And then it went all so horribly wrong. And I don't know, I thought the ending of that story was a little bit over the top, like, you know, I lost my teaching assistantship because of you. And I was like, how did that happen? I don't understand. But yeah, I mean, I was glad that Kath kind of stood up for herself, because she was in an interesting position where like a lot of the work in the story that he wanted to get into that journal was hers, but a lot of it wasn't. And so she kind of felt ownership for it, but also not at the same time. So yeah, I was a little confused at the ending, but I thought that Nick was an interesting loop thrown in there at the beginning, and something that could destroy Kath's budding sense of accomplishment in, I guess, the first third of the book.
Oh, dear.
It was harsh, wasn't it? When he was just like, no, you're just a woman. You're just an editor or whatever. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and honestly, like, there are a few moments in this book where I felt like it was a lot of the characters were given quite a narrow portrayal. Like they were very set in their ways. And I feel like maybe Kath and Ren were the only two characters in the book that got any sort of character development. Everyone else basically stayed the same. Like Levi was super cheerful and Regan was super snarky and Nick was a jerk, like et cetera, et cetera. Which, you know, is not necessarily a problem considering what the book is about, but yeah, you sort of felt like with the characters like Nick that they were very quickly thrown aside and there wasn't a lot of chance for a reader to get attached to them, I don't think.
Yeah.
But, you know, who cares? Levi, woohoo! Whatever. Just adorable, adorable fan fiction, loving, can't reading, going to pick her up from the library, Starbucks.
Driving her places that are like hours away.
Yeah, Starbucks work in Levi. Literally not a thing wrong with that boy.
No, he brings you coffee. I mean, like, again.
Yeah. He brings you options as well.
He does.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I think she's basically written like the perfect, it's like the perfect Tumblr boy. You know what I mean? Like, am I right?
He can double as a writer's assistant because he brings you the coffee.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Line, there were some really funny, I didn't think the first half of the book was as funny as the second half. Like, there were just some lines that made me crack up, like when Kath is having her whole like internal like freak out about whether she wants to get physical with Levi, which I thought was very well done. And then like they're sort of making out and she's like, I should just have sex with him in case we marry other people. I should have sex with him all. And I just cracked up, and then her brain is like flawed logic. And yeah, I thought that was great. I did think that Levi actually got some more, it was very subtle, but like in their interactions and his kind of trying to like make her comfortable in that relationship, like he became more than just like smiley boy, you know. He like, you could see that he had some conflict going on, and like I'm like the anti-romance person, but I will admit that I really liked him.
I thought they did this really well, the romance aspect of it. It was quite different from a lot of the other things that I've read, and I think that it was, the whole kind of startup was really subtle, and the way that it went about, and, you know, obviously you have to throw, like, some drama into a relationship to make it interesting, and just the way that everything came about, it wasn't annoying or over the top. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was cute. It was a new portrayal, I think, to the sort of very, like, physical relationships that we often see in YA. So this was, I think the portrayal of their relationship definitely tied in with the way that Kath's character had been set up, and it was nice not to see Rao do a 180 on that as soon as she, you know, got a boyfriend and et cetera, et cetera. Like, she still very much had that same anxiety and all of these different things going on. And yeah, her internal monologues like throughout this entire book were hilarious. I read it a couple weeks ago, but yeah, I had a lot of literal laugh out loud moments as I was reading this, and a couple of them were in public places and people judged me, so you know, that's that's always good when you're reading a new book.
You know how Kath and the rest of us always feel.
Well,
okay. I have a question. Is her name actually Cather?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
I think so.
Horrible.
Because Catherine.
It sounds like catheter.
Catherine.
I know.
That's what I kept thinking too, Pam. I was like, oh, this is weird.
I mean,
she just had a terrible mom.
To be fair, her mom was kind of crazy. So
yeah, the so, mom.
Like, I was thinking her name was actually Kath. I'm like, that's a little weird because it's a nickname, but okay, like I could see it. But Cather, no.
Yeah, well, it's like the mother was too lazy to think of two different names. You know what I mean? Which
yeah,
basically
but she just,
is at least a name.
Ren, yeah, is still like sounds like Cather.
I know. I thought the whole like first half of the book when Levi was the only one that called her that, I thought it was just like him making fun of her for not being able to introduce herself properly at the start. But then, yeah, like, her dad starts calling her that, and I was like, oh, this is her name? That's weird. And also, their mother sucks so much.
She does. Talk about another unredeeming character.
Really, yeah. She was the other one I was going to bring up, because, you know, I mean, there were a lot of, we'll call real-world issues in this book, and divorce was a fairly prevalent one in the way that it, like, shaped Kath and Ren. As I can't call it Katha, I can't do it. Kath and Ren as people. But I don't know, the portrayal of the mother I was like vaguely uncomfortable with, I think, in like how black and white it seemed. I don't know what you guys thought.
I have like some experience with that in my life, and it didn't seem unrealistic. I mean, okay, let's just put it this way. I think that I appreciated that regardless of whatever is going on in Laura's life, I appreciated that Kath's feelings were not devalued by the book. I thought that it was she was allowed to feel that, you know, that anger, that betrayal, and she was allowed to hold on to those feelings. It wasn't like, oh, now I have healing and I realize that my mother is a human person and blah 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 blah. You know, it was, you know, some of the things she said, like, it's not my job to want you, like, you're my mother, this is like all on you, you know. I felt like it was respectful of her experience.
Yeah, I had no issues with those parts, but I think I would have liked it better if Ren had been allowed to have a relationship with her mother, even when Kath didn't want one. Instead of it being like, you know, Laura is at the hospital and she's like, oh, I can't deal with this, and she bails, and, you know, oh, she's like the big bad mom, you know. I think that sort of ruined it for me a little bit. I really liked the way it was going up until then, because I really enjoyed that both the characters had their own, like, agency to decide whether they wanted to have a relationship with their mother or not as adults, and the father as well, I guess. But let's stop talking about characters, because I want to talk about fandom and fanfiction. Yay! And Pamela can talk about all of the / fanfiction that we know that she writes. I mean, I feel like we should...
No, in discussion of fangirl, you are not allowed to say that in a condescending tone.
Oh, no, I'm not making fun of / fanfiction, I'm just making fun of Pamela.
Welcome to my world, Pam.
I see how it is.
Oh.
Karen, you're welcome.
So
this is every book hype podcast.
I feel like we need to get this out of the way at the start, right? Simon Snow is Harry Potter, and Simon and Baz are Harry and Draco, am I right?
Has to be.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was fun. It was cute in a way that you could draw that little parallel. At some points, I was like, okay, I get it. Yeah, I get it, you know. But that was fun. Did you guys like reading the little bits of fan fiction that were put in between the chapters?
I feel like I shouldn't admit this, but I totally started glazing over them, like, towards the end, because I was, and maybe that's what you're supposed to do, because you're supposed to be more invested in Kat's growth, you know what I mean? But, like, it was fun to read them, but they were, like, neither here nor there for me. I think it was, like, a little too cheesy, and I was, like, obviously it's meant to be a parody, but some of the stuff was just, like, was too much.
Yeah, you know? I felt the same.
I also thought, like... Well, first of all, I had a slight issue when she started referencing Harry Potter, because I could, like, I was okay with this being, like, the Harry Potter stand-in, you know, in a world that Harry Potter didn't exist in. But once she mentioned Harry Potter, I was like, there's no way these books become popular in a world where Harry Potter exists.
I know. Like, yeah. I mean, like, the spells and stuff, like, the way that they recited spells.
Oh, my God.
Just,
yeah.
Like, so lame.
Oh, the spells were the best.
But the thing is, like, we have... Like, I had no differentiation between the books by Gemma T. Leslie and Kath's writing. So, like, it didn't really... And maybe that was the point, but, like, because for me they're both fictional and there is no difference, really. I didn't really see a difference in quoting her fan fiction and quoting the actual book. Like, I almost think it might have been better if the actual book was not quoted and it was all Kath fan fiction.
Yeah, I sort of agree, but at the same time I think maybe the point was that it was all sort of mixed up together and you couldn't necessarily differentiate except for, like, the way that the characters were portrayed. But,
Can we agree that Agatha sucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like the ultimate Mary Sue, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Penelope was awesome.
Yeah, because she was Hermione.
Yeah. And Hermione, like, wins all of the things.
She does.
So what did we think? I mean, I have to say, like, I am not very, well, I'm not at all active in the fan fiction community. I'm obviously, like, reasonably active in the fandom community writing for Hyperball, but I got more involved in fandom, like, in my early, what am I in my early 20s, rather than, you know, like, Kath was obviously involved in her sort of teenage years. Any of you guys in the sort of fan fiction world? Because I would be curious to think of, like, hear what you thought about the portrayal of that.
I used to be back, because the thing is with Harry Potter, like, I don't know how I know you guys are all Harry Potter fans and active in fandom now. I don't know how long you've been like active in fandom, but I feel like fan fiction, there was a big spike between books 5 and 6 because there was such a long wait. And I think that's when you really saw a lot of fan fiction kind of coming to life online. And then it just kind of stuck. I grew out of fan fiction quite a long time ago, so I'm not sure how it is now, but I definitely think it was accurate because I feel like having kind of been in that world, there are definitely those big name fan authors that just have just as much respect as, you know, J.K. Rowling would. There are stories that people like deem as gospel. The big one that comes to mind is actually a Marauder era fan fiction for Harry Potter called The Shoebox Project.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is actually also Slash. It's Remus and Sirius Slash. Like, people take that as gospel, you know, in a lot of different senses. It's just like, you know, it doesn't matter that J.K. Rowling never wrote Marauder era. Like, that is Marauder era for a lot of people. And so in that sense, I think it's really realistic for sure. But I don't know. What do you guys think if you guys have been in fan fiction fandom?
I feel like with my very limited experience, Fangirl was very representative of like the fan fiction community in what you're saying, Pam, with like the big name fans and, you know, their fan fictions are accepted like canon. I don't feel like it had a huge amount of sort of the rest of the fandom aspect. It was more focused on the fan fiction, which was fine. But yeah, I don't have as much experience with that. So Karen, what were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, like, I haven't written fan fiction, and my Harry Potter experience was very sort of secluded. It was just mostly like me and the books. I never got into the fandom aspect of it until very, very close to the end. But I'm really involved in the Teen Wolf fandom because I'm on the podcast for Hypeable, and we have a couple of people who do like a lot of our Tumblr things. And so I sort of like get involved through them. And from what I've seen and what I know, it is so accurate. It's scary. And what was really interesting to me was kind of other people's reactions to the fan fiction part and the Slash, and then also like the kind of embarrassment and wanting to hide who you really are from like Kath's perspective, I thought was super accurate. And it was just really interesting to kind of be able to see both perspectives there. And of course you kind of relate to Kath more, I think, but to see, you know, somebody like Reagan, who wasn't really into it at all and kind of, you know, marginally cared about the books, but wasn't a super fan or anything. It was kind of cool to see those different perspectives and how they kind of came together and they were still friends and they could talk about it and that sort of thing.
It's also interesting you bring up the whole, like, hiding who you really are, like, what you really like in Kath's instance, because now that you brought up Teen Wolf, I guess I should bring, it's only fitting I bring up Merlin, which is the BBC show, because I feel like Slash is the main pairing there, whereas in, like, Harry Potter, which is what Simon Snow is based off of, like, there is some Slash, but I feel like there's more room to ship other characters of, like, you know, boy and girl pairings together or whatever, but for Merlin, it's all Slash. It's like 90% Slash. It's 90% Merlin and Arthur. And one of the interesting things that we found when we were doing our Merlin month on Hypeable is that, you know, we tried to do a fan fiction post, not because like we were necessarily invested in it as writers, but because we thought that other fans would want to know about it. And we got a lot of backlash from people in the fandom community saying that, you know, it wasn't fair for us to like kind of put it out there in the open, like what certain people like to write about. And because it was just kind of like embarrassing and like not everybody's is accepting of it. So in that sense, I feel like that experience, even though it wasn't like mine as an author's or like mine as somebody who particularly, you know, ships that very hard, it was very similar to what Kath was going through as far as like, you know, she wasn't like as embarrassed to talk about like, you know, like the fact that she writes fan fiction, but it still wasn't like, she wasn't like loud and proud, like screaming it from the rooftops to everybody she met on campus. You know, she was very picky about who she told.
That's fascinating that people were giving you guys backlash for that. And I think I remember Selena writing an article after that saying like, you know, things are only going to get better the more we talk about it. And, like, you know, it's okay to be into this stuff. It's what fandom is. And I completely agree with that. And I think that even though there is a lot of embarrassment there, it's also, you know, there's some huge fan fiction writers out there, like the big name fans that you guys were talking about. And I think that, you know, we should celebrate them for the popularity and for the fact that they've written good stories. Even though it is fan fiction, they're good stories that people are just as invested in.
Let's just take a minute to remember, like, Cassandra Clare was a big name fan fiction writer in the Harry Potter fandom. And then
she was,
you know, went on to write Mortal Instruments, which I think is, like, we can see a sort of similar trajectory with Kath, like, using fan fiction as a way to experiment with her writing and, you know, et cetera, in Fangirl. But there are a lot of writers that start off in fan fiction and go on to write their own original works and have their own fandoms and their own fan fiction, which is, like, very meta. But, it, you know, like, I really enjoyed this look at fandom as opposed to, you know, maybe, like, just people that enjoy talking about, you know, Simon Snow books or, like, dressing up and doing, like, the release parties and stuff like that. Because, yeah, fan fiction, it does seem like, it, in some ways, it's sort of this side of fandom that even people within the fandom ignore and don't like to talk about, which is just ridiculous because it's just another way to celebrate this thing that everyone loves.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to say that, like, I feel like fan fiction, especially as of late, gets a really bad reputation because you have the whole 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, and not to, like, knock on E.L. James because, like, you know, she's very successful right now, so, like, how can you, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm not one to judge what other people enjoy. But I do want to point out that there are a lot of really, really wonderful authors in all different kinds of fandoms out there, and some of these people, like, it's amazing that all they do is write fan fiction. It's like, go write a real book, you know, because they're so good at writing for fandom that you just kind of think, like, why wouldn't you want to write a real book and just be respected as, you know, paid author. But, you know, I think if Fangirl does one thing, like, maybe, like, it is kind of scary to think that fan fiction is, like, is so mainstream now that there's, like, a book about it that anybody can pick up at the library. But, you know, maybe it will open up people's eyes to the fact that, like, fan fiction isn't stupid. Fan fiction isn't something that you should make fun of. Like, fan fiction is, like, legitimately, sometimes it's really, it's almost as good as any book you could buy at the store.
Yeah, but please don't hand it in as an assignment.
No.
Just as, like, a PSA. Mikal, what do you think about this whole fan fiction issue?
Well, something that I've sort of been thinking about in general is that nowadays, and this is, like, connected to fanfiction and particularly fandom in general, but people have these online lives in which they are full, funny, respected, intelligent, well-spoken people, you know, and that exists online. And then in real life, they can be, you know, I'm not saying everybody's, like, you know, socially awkward or whatever, but I feel like a lot of the time, the respect that they have online is not equal to the I guess, fulfillment that they get in real life interactions. And part of that, I think, is because online, like, fandom and things like that are looked down on, or it's not real, or it's, you know, whatever. And part of it is people needing to, you know, to kind of have the courage to bring that side of themselves. This is something that, you know, I think I work on myself, like, bringing that side of yourself that is behind your computer and that you feel confident in into normal everyday interactions, which is something that I think Kath was very subtly trying to do at some point, and I think that was part of her problem. But it, in terms of, like, the larger impact of looking down on fan fiction, I really think that it's, you know, and I know myself, I sometimes say, like, oh, it's fan fiction, you know, because it's like feminists calling somebody a bitch. It's like that same kind of, like we're in on it, but we're not in on it, and I don't know. But I do think that overall, it's, this book is really important in kind of showing people that, like, somebody can be exceptionally successful and you don't even know about it, you know, and that people have to take ownership of that success and be like, no, you know what, I do have 20,000 hits on my fan fiction, and, you know, Like, what was the last thing you wrote that somebody else read that much of? And I'm an amazing fanfic fan artist, or I cosplay amazingly. Like, you know, we all have to, like, own this and make it like a skill that it's not, you know, looked down on, and it's an accomplishment equal to whatever, something else.
I have to say, one of my disappointments with Fangirl, and I don't really know if this is something that would have fit into the book, but I suppose this is just my own personal experiences with fandom. I was kind of disappointed that, like you said, there wasn't any exploration of the relationships that can form within fandom. And I totally get that that really wouldn't fit in with this whole thing of Kath being, like, isolated and an introvert and et cetera. Like, she doesn't really interact with people in the world, and she sort of doesn't interact with people online either. She just puts this thing up that, you know, everyone loves and blah, blah, blah. But I think one of the most wonderful things about fandom, and something that is becoming more accepted, is this idea of, like, they're not internet friends, they're just friends, you know, like people that you meet through fandom or whatever. It's just like meeting someone because you both like the same sports team, or because you both really like the same band and you go to the concert, or, you know, whatever. It's just another way to do that. I mean, all of you guys I met through fandom, and all of you guys I met in July this year in America. So, you know, like that to me was kind of a shame. That there wasn't some, like, exploration of that. And in a way, I felt like at the end of the book, Kath's involvement in fan fiction and in fandom had been sort of pushed aside in replacement of real, quote-unquote, real relationships with her sister and with Levi and with her father. What did you guys think about that? Like, does Kath grow out of fan fiction, or, you know, is she just using fan fiction as a substitution for the relationships that she can't have in the real world?
I think my biggest disappointment is the ending, in the book just sort of stops. It doesn't really end. And, like, unless I skipped this and didn't pick up on it, do we know if she beats Gemma Leslie to the book? I mean, like, do we know if she finishes first?
I was actually just going to ask that question too, because I can't remember.
I feel like she gets to the end and realizes it kind of doesn't matter if she's first or not, and that she's going to finish it, but it doesn't really matter.
Because I wanted to see her finish. Like, whether or not she beat her, I agree, is really not as important, although I understand why she wanted to. But yeah, no, I want her to finish, you know, because this is 2 years of her life's work, you know, it's...
I don't think that was in question. I think she was definitely going to finish. It was just when.
I hope she did, but at the same time, I wouldn't think it would be unrealistic for her not to, because I feel like sometimes you just organically grow out of it. I think, like, that was very similar to my experience. Like, I needed to be, like, you know, like, in that world for a period of my life, just because it was a nice escape. And then, like Kath, I just kind of grew out of it and started doing other things. And for me, those other things actually ended up just being, like, writing for online fan sites and doing podcasting, which, again, is not as respected as it probably should be. But I hope she finished. I just don't think it would be unrealistic if she didn't. And she just, because I feel like maybe she just didn't need it anymore, you know?
Yeah, I sort of saw it in a similar way, and I guess I was a little bit... I wasn't a huge fan of that idea of it being something that she wanted to grow out of, or she needed to just do for a certain amount of time, and that was it, because I felt like so much effort went into making this a legitimate, like, exploration of self and, you know, a way to show her relationship with her sister, and then to sort of get to the end of it and say, oh, well, you know, I've got a boyfriend now, I've got a good relationship with my sister, my dad's going okay, I don't need this anymore, kind of felt like it was doing a disservice to all of the groundwork that Raoul had done, you know, with saying, hey, fan fiction is okay and fandom is okay, even if you're older than 18. You know, you can still enjoy it.
So, yeah. Surprise, surprise, I don't really agree with that. Shocker! No, but I do agree that I wish she would have kind of gone more into the relationships that Kath had with her internet friends, just because, yeah, that's a huge deal. Some of the people that I'm closest to, honestly, are like you guys. You know, I've met you guys through Hypeable and stuff like that, and we've met up in different places and hung out and done things together, and those relationships are just as solid as my, you know, quote-unquote real-life relationships. I don't think that Kath grew out of it, you know, grew out of the fan fiction. I think she found balance, and I think that it was sort of a triumph that her real-life relationships started to come before her internet relationships. I think that, you know, for Kath, the internet friends were, that was easy. You know, she could interact with them and she was popular and everybody liked her and they liked what she was doing. Those relationships weren't a struggle for her. But the real life relationships with, you know, not so much her sister, because I think she did have a fairly strong bond with her sister, but with people like Reagan and Levi, those were difficult. And I think that finding that balance was a triumph for her.
I agree. I just think that I mean, I think that more of the problem with Kath's relationship to fanfiction was maybe illustrated in the middle of the book, where she has this line, like, you know, she's been writing the same love scene for years, you know, and just in different incarnations. And I think that that more highlighted the problem more than, it wasn't the fact that she was writing fan fiction. It was the fact that she kind of got stuck in this rut of writing the same kind of fan fiction, which, let's get real, a lot of published authors write the same thing over and over again. But I think I'm sort of in the middle. I don't know if it was a, like, dismissal of fan fiction and what she needed from it, or if it was, like, just a lessening. I'm really was confused at the way it ended.
All right, before we wrap this up, I want to talk a little bit, just quickly, about the other issues that were mentioned in Fangirl. So we talked a little bit before about, like, divorce and the portrayal of college experiences and anxiety and things like that. The two that really stood out to me was the portrayal of mental illness. And we see, like, the father has, I'm assuming it's, like, bipolar or, you know, some sort of manic disorder. Ren obviously has addiction problems. And I would say that Kath definitely has some sort of anxiety and depression problems as well towards the start of the novel. And the second one was the representation of, like, the reading or learning disabilities through Levi, which was something that I don't think is often addressed in YA. And the way that the mental illnesses was portrayed was again, I think, very unique to how they're usually shown in these kinds of books. So did you guys have any thoughts about those?
Yeah, I really liked how she sort of took all of these different things with, like, the addictions and the anxiety and whatever her father had, and portrayed them the way that she did, because I think it was subtle enough that it didn't feel like a PSA, but at the same time, like, it was definitely a forefront to a lot of the plot and a lot of the things that were going on, especially in Kath's case. The one sort of issue that I did take was that a lot of the time, like, you know, with Ren, with Kath, and with her father, she, especially her father, like, he got off of his medicine and he sort of did, like, these coping mechanisms on his own, which I think is a really good thing. I think that a lot of the times in real life that does happen, but I was sort of disappointed that, you know, Kath didn't get on medicine for her anxiety, because I think a lot of the times, I know I had this point of view that, you know, medicine means that you're sick or that something's wrong with you and you don't want to take it because you don't sort of want to admit what's going on. And so I guess I was a little disappointed that that issue didn't come up and that some of the characters didn't get on medication when they obviously needed it, because Kath's anxiety was really, really strong. And I think she needed something more than just to kind of muddle through it on her own.
Part of what, like, bothered me a little bit was the idea that, like, Kath and Ren had sort of been forced to see a child psychologist, you know, when they were little, and it was like, okay, now we're not doing this anymore. And it was like, you guys both need therapy so bad. And, you know, because therapy is a good thing, you know, like Kath really would have benefited. I don't know why that didn't occur to me, but you're 100% right, Karen. She would have benefited from, you know, maybe some anti-anxiety medication and therapy and the ability to have to talk about what bothers her. And, you know, I mean, Regan, I guess, sort of served that purpose, but, like, it's very different. And, you know, like, Regan, as great as she is a judgmental person. And, you know, for Kath to have a safe space where she could talk about it and not have to, like Professor Piper, you know, worry about her grade or worry about lying or anything like that, I think that would have been really healthy. In terms of the learning issues, I mean, I was a little interested, I guess. I mean, I am dyslexic and, like, sort of, I mean, I can read much better than Levi, but I guess I understand where she's coming from, but I don't see it as, like, a massive, like, issue. You know, it's like, great, you figured out how to cope. Good. Yay. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. I felt the same way about that, actually, just because, like, one of my best friends has a learning disability, and I think a lot of people, when they say learning disability, you think that they're dumb or that, you know, they can't get good grades or anything like that. My friend got excellent grades in college. It just took her a lot longer to get through, like, the assignments and do the reading and that sort of thing. And I thought it was great that Levi, whether it was on his own or not, I guess we don't really know, but he found those coping mechanisms and he figured out a way to get those grades, and he didn't sort of let his learning disability control him. And I thought that was a really good message.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because you just don't usually see that sort of thing. Not, I mean, it's not like people are excluding writing about people with learning disabilities. I think it's more like you just don't really think about it. And it was nice to see the contrast, I guess, between, like, Levi, who was able to deal with, yeah, his issues through, like, the coping mechanisms he'd set up and everything. And I guess by the end of the book, we're supposed to think that Kath has also found some sort of mechanisms to deal with hers. But again, I agree with you, like, there did seem to be a sort of anti-medication thing going through this book with Kath and with her father, which, yeah, was, yeah, I guess that was kind of a shame in the portrayal. But as for, like, the portrayals of Kath and Ren and their father, like, it made a lot of sense to me as I was reading it, that these three characters have all sort of gone through a trauma and, you know, like, share a gene pool, and it made sense to me that they shared similar issues that just manifested in a different way. So, yeah, I liked how that was built into all of their sort of character trajectories.
What was important about Levi was that it was nice to see that, like, as I guess socially privileged in like that, like, not having social anxiety way that Levi was, he was also, like, vastly underprivileged in comparison to Kath, who, like, it, like, she rarely talks about her classes at all. Like, it seems like she's doing pretty well. Like, it doesn't seem to be a struggle for her. You know, she's still writing a lot of Simon Snow, and she seems to be getting a 4.0, you know. So she's privileged in that way, whereas Levi has a serious disadvantage. So it was nice to sort of, you know, see that, like, even though he can cope really well in this way, he also has stuff that he struggles with.
Yeah, very, very true. Pam, do you have any thoughts about any of that?
No, I actually really just want to say that I did enjoy that Levi had, he wasn't, like, the perfect guy, because obviously he had his issues as well. And I think it just only added to the realism. And I mean, with Ren, like, what I didn't appreciate about her character was just that she was so ungrateful. There's that one scene where, like, Kath, like, goes to find her because she accidentally sent her that emergency text. And then Ren was just so ungrateful about it and pretty much just, like, chewed her out and, like, told her to leave and told her she was ruining her life. I've never experienced, like, I've never known anybody with addiction. So I don't know if that was accurate, but to me, it just kind of felt overdone. But other than that, I don't think I really had any problems with any of the other issues that were addressed. But I don't know, maybe, I mean, do any of you know anyone with addiction that could speak kind of more to that?
Well, I felt with Ren, I guess, that it wasn't so much, I felt like she had similar issues to to Kath, but that it just sort of, instead of manifesting in like this social anxiety way, it manifested in addiction. Like they had both gone to sort of these polar opposites of Kath would not get involved in any way, and Ren was like way too involved in this new college scene. So like as to the addiction itself, I can't really speak to, but you know, as to like the representations of anxiety and depression, like I definitely have friends that have had experiences with that. And, you know, like I feel like one of the hallmarks of that is maybe you don't want to admit like anything's, not like anything's wrong in the sense of like, yes, I have these issues, but you know, you just want to like have a good time and like forget about it, blah, blah, blah. So Kath was obviously a very confronting presence to Ren, like regardless of the situation around that time. And I liked how through Kath, we sort of got this same, you know, character journey for Ren as well. And in a way, her character sort of grew and changed a lot more than Kath's did, I guess, arguably.
Yeah, well, that was something I thought was really well done, that conversation that they have where, I mean, I don't know if Kath's necessarily in the right, but she, when she tells Ren, like, their mom leaving didn't just hit Ren's side, Kath's side of the car. It wasn't like Ren really, really wants to act like this didn't affect her. And, you know, it's, and, you know, when she tells her mother later, like, the reason that she drinks like this is because of you. And I liked that. I mean, it wasn't necessarily delved into as thoroughly as it could have been, but I don't know if that's not really what the book's about. But I thought that was a really astute observation and something that was good to kind of observe, that sometimes the people who are most harmed by things are the people who either think or want to think that they were not harmed.
Okay, well, I think that wraps up our fangirl conversation. Obviously, we could go on for ages and ages about all the different things. But luckily, if you guys are listening to this, you can continue the conversation. We'd love to talk about a lot of these issues more. And if you've had experiences with, you know, some of the different things we've talked about, we'll definitely be interested in seeing what you've got to say. So make sure to leave comments on this podcast post, and you can always get through to us on Twitter if you've just got a short little comment, which is twitter.com/bookhype. And I think we had a listener who tweeted us about Fangirl. So Karen, did you want to read that?
Sure. This is from Linz, and they say, "Can the Simon Snow books be real? I was totally Kath my first year of college. I was afraid of the cafeteria too." I think it's so interesting how many people have said this. Like, I definitely thought that I was the only one in the entire world. I know that sounds weird, but that was afraid to go to the cafeteria. But a lot of people that I know have said this, so it's really interesting. And I don't know if I want the Simon Snow books to be real. I think that would be kind of weird.
Read Harry Potter. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Go reread Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I would just like to note for the record that there is a Simon Snow category on Archive of Our Own. And right now there's only one fic there, but...
Oh, that's cool.
Crazy.
That's amazing. We should link to that. Oh no, we'll get in trouble if we link to fan fiction. I forget.
No, we don't.
We'll link to that. Yeah, we'll link to that in the show notes. I think that's great. All right. Well, that's it for Book Hype episode 18. And next on Book Hype, we'll be talking about Allegiant by Veronica Roth, which is out this week. So make sure you get reading that and let us know what you think about it. Hopefully you're not angry with... Yeah, hopefully you're not angry with how it ends. Please don't be mean to Veronica Roth if she mockingjays us. And mm-hmm. We're going to have a very special guest when we do that book. I feel like we should say it's not Veronica Roth, but it is very, very special guest, and we're very excited. So, you know, if you've got thoughts about the book once you read it, we would love to hear them.
Rate and review us on iTunes.
Yes, do that. Excellent. Okay, until next time, I'm Marima.
I'm Karen.
I'm Michal.
And I'm Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Stay ficky.
Stay ficky.